It is great to see you all this morning. Thank you very much for being a part of our services here at Azalea City. Thank you to Melvin for leading us in our singing today. Thank you to Jason for directing our minds in the Lord's Supper, for Seth and for Bubba, your prayer, your scripture reading. Thank you for those who got up this morning, prepared class. And thank you for you being here today, coming and being a part of our services here. We're so excited to have everybody with us. I do want to say that today is Sunday afternoon for the Master, and so that's always a great event. If you can stick around, if you're visiting with us, hey, we'd love for you to come and eat with us. Enjoy that time together for us to get to know you, but then also there'll be some other things going on so that we can help serve our community, serve our Lord in those endeavors. Also, today kicks off our last Leaders Leaderettes for the upcoming 2020 year, convention year, and also you do not have to go to convention to participate, but those of you who will, there'll be some convention events that we'll need to nail down pretty soon. But Bible Bowl, and I think Puppets are meeting today, and so all those who are working with that, thank you very much. And so please take note of all the things that are going on. What it reminds me a lot of is everywhere we turn, we've got a lot of influence, don't we? Whether it's good influence or bad influence, we have influence. What I mean by that is this. I can influence somebody to do good things, or I can influence somebody to do bad things. We talk about peer pressure with our teenagers. By the way, good-looking group of teenagers up here. Appreciate you guys. Or almost teenagers, if you will. But we appreciate them, but we harp on teenagers a lot about peer pressure. Watch out for peer pressure. Watch out for peer pressure. But we face it too. We face it in our works. We face it in our neighborhoods. We face it in the world, the communities we live in. And we have a peer pressure, if you will, a peer influence, if you will, where we can influence somebody to follow Jesus Christ, or we can influence somebody to fall away from Jesus Christ. And that's just the hard reality of it. We all have an influence. So, I want to ask you this morning this question. I left it with you Wednesday night, those who are able to be here. And so today, as we go through this lesson, I want you to think about this. When people leave my presence, when it's an individual or a group or whoever, when people leave my presence, are they closer to God or further away? And that's where we're going to fall today. Either we're influencing people to be closer to God, or they're falling further away. And so I want us to think about that as we talk about renewing ourselves today, renewing our influence for others towards Jesus Christ. In 2 Kings 5, we're going way back now, 2 Kings 5, we have a man by the name of Naaman. Naaman was a great soldier. And this story is a special story. You remember, it tells us exactly that it tells us this. We have to do exactly what God says for us to inherit healing, salvation, to get rid of sin. Okay? Naaman had leprosy. And so with that leprosy, he had to go dip in the Jordan River 7 times. Not 6, not 8, not 3, not 2, not 12, 7 times. Once he dipped 7 times, there was nothing holy about the Jordan River. There was nothing holy about the water that was in it. What was holy was God and is God. And God is the one who told him to do it. And I'm going to get to that in a moment. So it's a beautiful story of obedience. But I don't want you to focus on the story of obedience necessarily today. I want you to look in 2 Kings 5 as we begin to read. Now, Naaman, commander of the army of the king of Syria, was a great and honorable man in the eyes of his master, because by him the Lord had given victory to Syria. He was also a mighty man of valor, but a leper. And the Syrians had gone out on raids and had brought back captive a young girl from the land of Israel. She waited on Naaman's wife. Then she said to her mistress, "If only my master were with the prophet who is in Samaria, for he would heal him of his leprosy." And Naaman went in and told his master, saying, "Thus and thus said the girl who is from the land of Israel. So what happens after this? He goes and he meets up with him. He's told to dip seven times, and he does that, and he's healed. But here's where I want you to focus today is on this servant girl who we don't even know her name. You see, I think it's remarkable that in a story that's such an impact story, I mean, we have heard the story of Naaman. Chances are most of us in here have heard that story for quite some time. But here is an impact story in the Bible that has yet another unseen hero. And that unseen hero is a servant girl, a slave girl that was brought from Israel who waits on Naaman's wife and tells him about the prophet. She used her influence to help a commander of the army become whole again. See, today, that the point is to you and the point is to me. No matter if we're a CEO or we're working out hard somewhere in our job just as a regular employee, no matter if we are the top student in the class or we are really near the bottom, no matter if we are on a platform speaking, or we are just talking to our buddies throughout the day, we have an opportunity to do great things with our influence. You and I have in our hands the ability to help somebody get cured of their disease. We don't do the curing, just like the servant girl didn't do the curing, but she pointed them in the right direction. And today, my brothers, my sisters, my family, we need to be pointing people in the right direction. We need to be pointing people to the cross. Wouldn't it be a shame? Now let me just say it this way, okay? What if when you saw me out and about, you overheard me using foul language? You're going to be very upset with me. You are. And you should be. Now, you shouldn't go gossip about it. You should come straight to me and say, hey, let me tell you something, buddy. All right? But I was using this foul language and everything else. You would be floored or whatever. Well, what about when we just hear somebody else that's a brother or sister in Christ? How are we reacting to that? You see, don't put me on a pedestal. I'm a Christian just like you're a Christian. I have an influence just like you have an influence. Well, if we hear our elders doing it, oh man, we're supposed to hold them. And I agree with that. But what a shame it is if somebody says, hey, I'm not going to worship at Azalea City Church of Christ because so-and-so goes there and I know how they act. Boy, that would be the worst thing Jesus Christ could say to me on Judgment Day. You see, that's our influence. That's what lies in your hands. That's what lies in my hands. And so I want you to think about, it could be one word. It can be one act. It can be just a moment of reaction to something that happens to us. Listen, we all hit our thumbs with a hammer every now and again. How are we going to react? How are we going to act when somebody cuts us off in traffic? How are we going to act? Listen, I'm not saying we're perfect, but folks, we are called out. You hear me? We're not perfect, but we are called out. We are to be different than the world. And if I'm going to be different than the world, then I've got to act different than the world. I've got to act like Jesus Christ. I've got to be like Him. And so for us to illustrate this even further and challenge ourselves even further, I want you to join me in Ephesians 5 today. Ephesians 5. We're going to be looking at the first 16 verses of this chapter. It's kind of a long reading, but it's a lot of good stuff in here, and our whole lesson is going to draw from this text. Verse 5, beginning in verse 1 that Seth read to us a moment ago, "Therefore, be imitators of God as dear children, and walk in love as Christ also has loved us and given Himself for us, an offering and a sacrifice to God for a sweet-smelling aroma."
But fornication and all uncleanness or covetousness, let it not even be named among you as is fitting for saints. It's about influence, folks, I'm telling you. Neither filthiness, nor foolish talking, nor coarse jesting, which are not fitting, but rather giving of thanks. We'll read that from another translation in a little bit, so keep that in mind. For this you know, that no fornicator, unclean person, nor covetous man, who is an idolater, has any inheritance in the kingdom of God and Christ. Let no one deceive you with empty words. For because of these things, the wrath of God comes upon the sons of disobedience. Therefore, do not be partakers with them. For you were once darkness, but now you are light in the Lord. Walk as children of light. For the fruit of the Spirit in all goodness, for the fruit of the Spirit is in all goodness, righteousness, and truth, finding out what is acceptable to the Lord. And have no fellowship with the unfruitful works of darkness, but rather expose them. For it is shameful even to speak of those things which are done by them in secret. But all things that are exposed are made manifest by the light, for whatever makes manifest is light. Therefore, he says, awake you who sleep, arise from the dead, and Christ will give you light. See then that you walk circumspectly, not as fools, but as wise. This is very important. This last verse we're going to read today. Redeeming the time, because the days are evil. Now, Paul wrote that long before we got here, right? He wrote that a long time ago, but here we are in 2019. Does that not sound like us today? Hey, we got to redeem the time. We got to make the most of the time. I don't know how long I have. Now, I turned 42 years old this past week, okay? I like to think I got at least that more left, right? But I don't know. I don't know. I don't know how long you have, and you don't know how long I have, and we could all go today. Jesus Christ could roll back the clouds. But here's what I do know, that as long as I'm here, the days are evil, so I've got to make the most of my time to let my light shine, to get others to follow Jesus Christ, to influence them. Now, it's hard to do that in a parking lot somewhere, standing up with a bullhorn. But I can do it with my relationships that I build with one another. I can do it with my family. I can do it by befriending somebody, helping somebody, encouraging somebody. But I've got to do it. I've got to make the best use of the time, because the days ahead are very, very evil. Now, there are two kinds of influences, and we can put them all in these categories, right? There's negative influence, of course, and there's positive, but we're talking about negative for a moment. Let me tell you about some folks that had some negative influence in the Bible. What about Pilate? Remember Pilate? Pontius Pilate, governor, right? He had the ability to let a thief and a murderer go, or a miracle worker, okay? He could let go an awful man or the best man who's ever walked. And he chose to let the murderer and the robber go free and kill the miracle perfect man, okay? The miracle worker, the perfect man. He had, and it, why did he do it? Here's what Mark says about it. Remember they cried out, crucify him? Pilate said, why? What evil have they done? But they cried out all the more, crucify him! Note this. So Pilate, wanting to gratify the crowd, released Barabbas, delivered Jesus after he had scourged him to be crucified. Now, did you hear that? Pilate did it because he was afraid an uproar from the crowd was coming. Those people were bloodthirsty. They wanted Jesus' blood on them and their children. Pilate wanted to wash his hands of it, but he didn't. And he delivered Jesus. Now, he had to die for us. I get that. But Pilate had the opportunity to let Jesus go. But he used his influence to lead him to the cross because he was afraid of disappointing the crowd. What about the innkeeper when Jesus was born? We don't think about that guy very much, do we? There was no room in the inn. I mean, if the innkeeper really understood, hey, this is the child of God, I'd just like to think I was going to be like, hey, man, can you bump for a night so we can put the child of God in this room? Okay? I'm going to bump you. We'll give you a voucher, okay? This is Jesus Christ. But the innkeeper didn't. He's like, I'm sorry, we're full. See you later. Woman's pregnant. About to have a baby anytime. We wouldn't have those cute little manger scenes, though. We'd just be in a Holiday Inn or something, you know. But he didn't use his influence. Getting a little more serious with it now. What about Judas? Man, he walked with Jesus. He talked with Jesus. He ate with Jesus. He stayed with Jesus. He was in the inner circle, man. He could have been a guy like Peter, like Paul, like all these others that we talk about. But he used his influence as to inherit greed because he was greedy. At the Last Supper, could you imagine Jesus having supper with him? Knowing what Judas was about to do. And then there are men like Demas. Demas, who was at one time a great influencer for Jesus Christ. How do you know that? Well, I just assume it because Paul said in Colossians 4:14, Luke, the beloved physician, and Demas greet you. He's sending these guys, Luke and Demas, to greet the church at Colossae. Sounds like a pretty good guy to me. Then he goes on to write, you know, we're reminded Demas was a supporter, a fellow worker. I'm also going to guess a friend. But in Philemon, verse 23, he says, Epaphras, my fellow prisoner in Christ Jesus, greets you, as do Mark, Aristarchus, Demas, Luke, my fellow laborers. We work together for the Lord. Demas is a great guy. He's using his influence for good. However, you get down to 2 Timothy and chapter 4, verses 9 and 10, we have these words. Be diligent to come to me quickly, for Demas has forsaken me, having loved this present world, and has departed for Thessalonica. You see, Demas had lost the opportunity because he loved the world too much. Boy, isn't that a scary thought? On fire for Jesus Christ, doing what's best for God, and then all of a sudden, I love the world so much, and now I'm not a positive influence, I'm a negative one. But here's the good news. Even if that's you today, you can still be a positive influence. Think of these folks. How about that servant girl we talked about in 2 Kings 5? She could have kept all that to herself, right? She could have said, oh no, I'm not going to tell you about the prophet. But she didn't. Naaman was healed. How about Esther? I love the book of Esther, don't you? She's under a Persian king who, you know, the Jews are captured and she has the opportunity to become queen and use her influence, and she did exactly that, and it saved the Jewish race so that Jesus Christ could ultimately come to this world. Mordecai, her uncle, who was like her father, actually her cousin, did the same thing. Okay? He was able to take her in and learn about Haman and not bow down to the threats of Haman, and he was able to use his influence, as the Bible says, for such a time as this. You know, there's so many in the Bible we could talk about. We're here with the same opportunities in such a time as this. Sometimes it's 30 seconds with a girl in line at Walmart. Sometimes it's a few moments with the waiter at the restaurant. Sometimes it's how we respond to a situation when others are watching. You see, these things matter. You know, we have opportunity now more than we've ever had to influence people. Last Sunday we had a great crowd. This Sunday we got another good crowd. But do you know that because of our live stream efforts and now we're able to track some hard data in that. Do you know that our worship service reached about 700 other people besides us last week? You see, that's pretty powerful to me. And that's just going to keep growing and growing. So hey to those who are watching on the live stream. But the point I'm trying to tell you is we have more opportunities now than we've ever had to influence people for Jesus Christ. Are we doing it? Are we using it for good? I believe Ephesians 5 gives us some great things that we need to be reminded about. Here they are, if we're going to be the right type of imitator, right type of influencer. Number one, we need to be imitators of God. Go back to the beginning in chapter 5, verse 1. He says, therefore, be imitators of God. Now, if you back up to verses 31 and 32, which comes from, he says, let all bitterness, wrath, anger, clamor, evil speaking be put away from you with all malice, and be kind to one another, tenderhearted, forgiving one another, even as God in Christ forgave you. You see, you and I cannot imitate the world and have a godly influence. We're the called out. Paul said you got to put away things. Remember in 1 Corinthians 13, he said, when I was a child, I spoke as a child, I thought as a child, I acted like a child. When I became a man, I put away childish things. Well, here's the thing. Let me say it in Terry's terms today. When I was in the world, I acted like the world. I talked like the world. I did what the world said. I was influenced by the world. But when I went down in this water and I became a babe in Christ, and I grew up, started growing up spiritually, and I put myself to death in the water that's behind this wall, guess what? It quit being about me anymore. It's about Him. And that's what it has to be. It has to be about Jesus Christ. If I'm going to be a difference maker, I've got to imitate God. So what do I do if I imitate God? Well, I'm going to have compassion. I'm going to recognize people have needs. I'm saving love because it's the next point, okay? But I'm going to help and I'm going to forgive and I'm going to do a lot of things that the world says not to do. The other night, we were driving home, almost home. We're at a four-way stop. Those of you who've been to my house, you know probably where that four-way stop is. I am completely stopped. Hey, and I've got I don't care anything about my vehicle, really. I mean, I'm thankful for it, but it was what's inside the vehicle I really care about, right? My wife's in the passenger seat. My daughter's in the back passenger seat. And then Bo's on this side. I'm clearly ready to go, but at a four-way stop, this guy just takes off. Well, I blew my horn at him, not because I wanted to be a jerk, but because that's my family. He flew his middle finger at me. And I want you to know, and I told my kids this, I want to chase that guy down and drag him out of that truck. And let him know, do you know who you just flipped off? I'm telling you, that's what I told my family this. I said, I want to do it. But, I've got an influence. And so we went home, thankful to God that we didn't get hit. You see, I'm telling you, I'm human just like you. There's nothing different about me. Okay? The reality is, though, those are the situations we face that we must imitate God. And there's so many others we could talk about. Imitate God. How? As His dear children. Number two. If we're going to be influencers for Jesus Christ, then we must walk in love. Walk in love. If you go and you look at verse 2, he says, walk in love as Christ also has loved us and given Himself for us. Boy, I'm telling you right now, we probably want to just quit reading, right? Because that's tough words. I mean, listen to it, folks. Let's not just glance over it. Walk in love. How? As Christ also loved us and has given Himself for us an offering and a sacrifice to God for a sweet-smelling aroma. If I am going to have the type of renewed influence, then I got to walk this like Jesus Christ. That means I got to be willing to give myself to Him. I've got to be willing to love like Christ loved, to serve like Christ served, to give like Christ gave. And you know what? Quite frankly, not everybody's willing to do that. They're not. Jesus knew it. You remember when He said, "You want to be my disciple? You got to love less mama, daddy, neighbor, everything else. If you cannot love me and follow me, if you do not first weigh the costs." He said, "This is hard." Now, it's not as hard as some people make it out to be. But this is hard. You've got to make some decisions. Boy, isn't it better to err on love, though? You remember the Pharisees? We're talking about it on Wednesday nights and in the book of Matthew as we're going through that book. They knew that law. They knew it backwards and forwards. But boy, they tried to get Jesus every time He healed somebody on the Sabbath. Man, they tried to catch Him in something. Why? Because they didn't have the love they needed to have. And Jesus came and said, "Look, I'm not putting new garments on old pants. I'm not putting new patches on old pants." Why? Because it's not going to hold. He said, "I'm not coming to patch the old law. Uh-uh." He said, "I'm bringing something totally new." He said, "You've walked in law, but now you're going to walk in love." And that's what we are to be. When we leave out of here today, yeah, we need to know our books. Don't get me wrong. We better know the Bible. But we need to know that it is galvanized in love. And we need to be love leaders. People need to recognize our love. We need to point them to Jesus Christ. Thirdly, this morning, if I'm going to have an influence, then I got to stay away from stink. I'm going to illustrate that to you in just a minute. But anybody enjoy just hanging around stink? You know, I appreciate the paper mill. It provided a good living and all for my dad and our family and my brother. But it stunk so bad. I mean, it helped a lot of people. And people be like, "Oh, you get used to it." I worked out there 2 years. I never once got used to it. My clothes would smell like it. Everything, it just stunk. And you know what those guys, those old timers, they would say, "Hey, it smells like money to me." You know? So guess what? I went to college and I didn't do that route. Why? Because I didn't want to be around stink. There's a lot more to it than that. But, you know, if something's dead, anybody just want to, "That's the best smelling smell I've ever smelled in my life." No. We stay away from it. We get rid of it. Why? Because it stinks. Well, let me tell you, there's a lot of stink that we got to get rid of. We don't need to be around. Listen to this. Going back to Ephesians 3, now 5:3. And let me read it from a different version here. "Let there be no sexual immorality, impurity, or greed among you. Such sins have no place among God's people. Obscene stories, foolish talk, coarse jokes, these are not for you. Instead, let there be thankfulness to God. You can be sure that no immoral, impure, or greedy person will inherit the kingdom of God. For a greedy person is an idolater, worshiping the things of this world. It would be better off, if I've got a lot of stink in my life, if I get in here and I sing songs like 'Up from the Grave He Arose,' and I'm singing it with all my heart because I'm thankful that Jesus Christ arose, and I'm talking about you know, Jesus, and I'm talking about this, and I'm singing songs, and I'm giving in the plate, but then tomorrow I go out and the first person gets on my nerves, I let a string of obscenity out of my mouth. It would be better for me to not say I belong to Azalea City Church of Christ. Or gossip. Or pornography. Or sexual immorality. Or, keep putting it, drunkenness. What, put it in there. Whatever it is, put it in there. Because it stink. And we got to stay away from the stink if I'm going to have a renewed influence. If I'm going to be what God called me to be. Because stinking thinking and stinking living will lead me to hell. And that's strong. I didn't say it. Paul did. He said, you will not inherit it. And see, those are things I'm called out. Remember? When I became a child of God, I was called out. Listen, there's a right way to do it. I met with a dad the other day who was upset about some things that were happening at middle school football practice, which I'm not really supposed to be over, but I am. But I was meeting with this dad who was upset, and he just started using profanity. And I'm already a little bit aggravated because he's telling us we don't know what we're doing, essentially. And so I faced the situation, and I'm just telling you, I'm human. I really wanted to just say, shut your mouth and get away from me. But I got to remember my influence. And so I said, hey, can we do this? Can we discuss this without you using profanity? You know what his excuse was? Hey, I'm sorry, I'm a sailor. Well, I know people that served in the Navy that are fine, upstanding people that do not talk that way. Okay? But my point of it is, I was faced with a situation, and I think we can make our influence where it's still in love and it's still the right way, but we are called out. We are called out is what I'm trying to say. Can we get totally away from the world? No. I mean, we can't, folks. We cannot get totally. We have to live in this world. But this world can't live in us. You know what Lot did? When Abraham said, hey, we can't stay here together. You know, the world's literally too big for us. You take and you choose. And Lot looked out and he saw the luscious land, the green hills, beautiful flow. You know, everything was gorgeous. You know, it was right near Sodom and Gomorrah. He pitched his tent at Sodom and Gomorrah. Lot lived in Sodom, but Sodom lived in Lot's family. And we've got to be real careful about that. So finally, this morning, when I put it all together, you know what it boils down to? Simple as this. I've got to walk in the light. If I look at verse 14 again of Ephesians 5, he says, therefore, he says, awake you who sleep, awake from the dead, and Christ will give you light. Where does it come from? It comes from Christ. Jesus Christ is the light. And we got to walk in Him. For if we walk in the light, as He is in the light, we will have fellowship with one another. And the blood of Jesus cleanses us from our sins. Man, what a beautiful thought. College football kicked off last night. It might have been a stinker of a game, but it was a game, right? You know what? They didn't do a lot in that game because they faked it a lot, but they didn't punt a lot. But sometimes in life, we've got to punt. You know what I mean by that? Hey, man, we can't move the ball. We can't move forward. We can't do this. And hey, let's just punt and let's live to play another day. Well, I want to give you a word today. Punt. What do we need to do? First thing we need to do, if I'm going to punt life and I'm going to be a good influence for God, I need to produce good fruit. You see, in verse 9, he tells us about producing that fruit. Apple trees produce apples. Peach trees produce peaches. Banana trees produce bananas. We could go on and on, right? A Christian must produce love. That's what is blooming on our tree. If we're not producing love, then we need to get in some new soil. We need to get where we need to go. We got to punt. The U should stand for understand what is acceptable to the Lord. That's verse 10. You see, there are certain things in life that please God and there are certain things that don't please God. If it doesn't please God, it stinks and I need to get away from it. So produce good fruit, understand what is acceptable to the Lord. And then thirdly, verse 11, I need to have no part of those things if it's not. He says, take no part in the unfruitful works of darkness, but instead expose them. I cannot hang out with sin. I just can't hang out with it. I mean, yes, please understand where I'm coming from on that. We are going to be friends with sinners. But I cannot let the sin come in my life and just have a foot in my heart all the time. I got to get it out. I got to punt it. And then finally, we need to be transparent. We need to be, here we are. This is who I am. So today, do you need to punt some things in your life? Do you need to get rid of some things? Do you need to have a renewed influence? You see, I told this story the other day in chapel, and I've told it here before. Those of you who love animals, please do not hold this against me. When I was young, I had a pet bird. Okay? And this bird, you can ask my mom, was very mean. It was white with red eyes. I don't know if that was a child of the devil or what. But it was a very mean bird. But it loved me for some reason. It used to be my grandmother's bird, so it had some sentimental value. She couldn't handle it anymore. She gave it to me. So it reminded me, but she was the sweetest lady on the planet, but it reminded me, you know, it was part of that. And one day I was just kind of nuzzling with the bird because, you know, bird loved me. And that bird bit me on the lip. And when I was young, I had what I like to call anger sharks in my head. And they would surface. And instantly, when this bird bit my lip, the pain was so bad that I just, Incredible Hulk, you know. So I didn't know what else to do, but I took and I thumped that bird right in the beak. And that bird went, his eyes rolled back in his head. His paws, or whatever they're called, legs just folded. And he fell over what I thought was dead right in my hands. And I thought, oh no, I've killed my bird. So I cried because it broke my heart. I mean, it's my grandpa. I'm a grandpa. You know, I love this thing. It just got wrapped up in a bad moment. Tears. It's a true story. It's not just a preacher story. It ran off my face, dripped on that bird, woke it up. Revived it. I'm not making it up. That bird was renewed. That bird was singing. And that bird never bit me on the lip again. Today, we need to be thumped sometimes. We need to be brought to our knees. And today, through the tears, through the pain, if you need to give your influence to Jesus Christ, let's do it. Let's change this world, but let's start with us as together we stand and sing.